As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
Every Tuesday, just after 4:05, we get caught up with the city of Bloomington, and our guest is the mayor, John Hamilton. Mayor Hamilton, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well, Mike. How are you doing? Thank you. You know, all that sports, you made me think about the heartbreak last night of the Hoosier soccer team. But man, that was tough. Oh,
Marshall was good.
What a season. What a season. But
yeah, Indiana and Marshall playing last night. Marshall, the golden goal, sudden victory winners in the 98th minute, 1-0. My rule, Mr. Mayor, on soccer, if you don't score, it's hard to win, and goals win football matches, and credit to Marshall. They get a lucky bounce off the post. Indiana had a couple bounces off the post. It didn't go their way, didn't take a couple chances, and heartbreak. It's always tough, but as I get older, and I've been to a lot of these, I always try to remind myself, getting there is so hard to do and special. That's why everybody cries and has a great time when you win one. It's really, really hard to win these things. So a great season for Todd and his group. They'll be back before you know it because soccer is going to return to August in the fall portion of the schedule. 2.5 months, we'll be doing it all again.
And props to them.
And hopefully in 2.5 months, we'll be in the stands yelling and screaming for the soccer Hoosiers and football and everything else. Big news last week, obviously the CDC comes out and says fully vaccinated people do not need to wear masks. And from that point forward, the city and county opened up. And when we talked last Tuesday, number one, you didn't really see that coming on your radar. And number two, I didn't get the sense that the city would follow the county and jump right in with this. Give me your thoughts on a very busy end of last week.
Yeah, it was an interesting week, and you're right. I did not really see that coming. The CDC, I think very appropriately, continues to monitor the science, and the best news really was they concluded that these vaccines work really, really well, and they protect people who are vaccinated, and they people don't really transmit the disease much, and they had some new data, and I'm all in favor of them sharing that and reminding us that when you're vaccinated, you are in a very, very different place from when you're not vaccinated. So the tricky part, the county health department moved very quickly then the next morning and announced that afternoon to basically rescind all the local regulations effective Monday the 17th, so just 72 hours later or whatever. And we felt, frankly, I just didn't think the city could sustain a different approach if we were the only, that meant there, for example, were no restrictions on gathering sizes because the state doesn't have that much. And I couldn't keep Bloomington at 15 if you step across the line and you can get no limit on numbers. So I do think it's really important to remember that if you're not vaccinated, none of this has changed your life. You really are still at risk, and it does make it complicated as an employer, as the city, as an employer. It's complicated for us. It's tricky for restaurants, or some of the retail places are getting different approaches to this. So, but I also remind myself, Mike, we've spent enough time. We just, this is complicated. Things change. We evolve. We respond, and we'll get through it. Okay, fine. We'll figure it out. It just is pretty tumultuous in the moment, but we'll get through it. But it is a reminder: you're in really good shape if you're vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated, you're still at substantial risk, and we're figuring out how to manage that all together.
And the other part that did you feel the information the CDC had that we learned of last week? That was new information. Talk about how, again, there wasn't some magic bullet that came out at a press conference that said, oh my gosh, we've just discovered this and now this all works out. Were they holding this information, or were they releasing it timely?
No. I think there were some things that were pretty significant. One, they had a few weeks of national data that showed pretty substantial reduction in cases that kept going. Now, that's not true in every state, and that's really important. But nationally, they saw a pretty good trend of case numbers. I do think they got some data. I mean, again, I'm not this expert, but like I read, there was a study of 6,000 healthcare workers in Israel who'd been vaccinated, and they looked at what was their experience in a high risk place, right? Exposure to lots of things, and it was really extraordinary that they saw the impact of the vaccinations, and they had more data, I think, on variants and the impact of vaccinations on variants. So I do think there were, you know, the science was building, and that's what prompted them to say, if you're vaccinated, you're in really good shape, and let's celebrate that. The tricky part is most of America is not vaccinated.
Well, that's going to be my next question. How do we get there if nobody wants to go there?
Yeah, and the other tricky part, of course, is you can't tell who's vaccinated and who isn't. We don't wear a special hat or a, you know.
The Scarlet V.
Yeah, so that makes it very hard if you're a restaurant or if you're an employer. And, how do I deal with firefighters who are vaccinated or not, or people working fixing potholes who are some vaccinated, some not? So that stuff's still complicated, and unfortunately, there is no simple answer. But I think it's appropriate to celebrate that we got really good news for the people who are vaccinated, that you're in a good spot. And so let's work with that and move forward.
So those numbers are good, and then you follow the county just because, the factor of confusing, you know, if you step over here or step over there and do all that.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I would say,
well,
that's
a very popular question all weekend long. How do you get into this spot? Does the county go it alone? How do you have in the change up? And that's a good explanation.
Well, I would also add, I think it's relevant that we had a whole bunch of people leave town in the interim, so that our population, the fear of really super spreader events has gone down significantly. But it's also worth mentioning, if we have a resurgence, if we have a problem that crops up, we may have to go backwards. We hope not, but we will if we need to.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. He joins us every Tuesday just after 4:05, and we always have plenty of stuff to hit. We'll stay on the COVID beat. We know that folks are not getting vaccinations as quickly as possible. Are we still going to keep the vaccination sites open, or are we going to reduce those? Or I know that's not your decision, but you meet with your health experts every Friday, and what is their feeling on that moving forward?
So, you know, a fundamental is we want to have it very easy to get a vaccine when you choose to get one. And so that will be the touchstone, and the Simon Scott Assembly Hall will continue. That's the plan, to keep that going. Of course, more and more retail spots may become available, and some of the pop-up things. We've done some pop-up clinics for vaccinations. I do think you'll also see more just general physician visits. The goal is to make this like you'd get your vaccines when you go see your doctor.
Yeah.
And to turn them. So we want to see more and more routinization, if you will, of the vaccine, and frankly, people to ask somebody, whether it's at a school or at your physician visit and all. We may see some specialized clinics shut down. I think the medical arts center that I went to, and I can't remember if you went to that one or not, by the hospital, is probably going to transition out, and they'll just shift it into their basic IU health system overall.
Yeah, I went to Williams Brothers Health Pharmacy. That's great. The more places you can have that, I think I saw CVS is trying to get them in. Everywhere you can get them in. But I'm also reading an article at this time that, you know, Indiana's in the bottom 10 states nationally to get vaccinated. So if we don't get to that, how hard is it for your job to kind of manage the city's expectation, the county's expectation, in a state where it's just not a really popular thing to do?
Yeah, it's tricky. It's unfortunate. I mean, I do hope that more and more, as people see that it's really safety that you get with a vaccine, and that there is risk. You know, we have people dying still from getting the infections, and hopefully people will come to understand that it's just the smart thing to do to get vaccinated. And there are risks. I mean, the national experts, you know, say, hey, look, there may be hot spots that develop. I do think, and you have to respond to those. I do hope that locally, if we have, for example, in the IU half of our population, if they're a very high number of vaccine for they may require it, they may strongly incentivize it, that'll help all of us, right? That takes our numbers up. And if we continue to We're continuing to offer $100 to every city employee who does that, and we hope we'll continue to see the numbers rise. The main thing is we don't want to see a rise of infections and hospitalizations and even death.
Somewhere between 70 and 85% needs to be vaccinated to reach herd immunity. Indiana's at 39% if you are scoring at home. So, well, it is different. But now that the health order has been lifted that was supposed to run through the 28th of May, was lifted Monday morning on the 17th. Well, we're not back to normal per se, but I have a bulletin here from the Monroe County Health Department that came out today. I know you've seen it as well. What was the purpose of today's missive or message?
Yeah, I think that health bulletin, which it just emphasized, one, you don't need to take your mask off just because you can. There may be people who feel comfortable or who have particular sensitivities at home or in their own immune system to keep wearing masks. There are places you're going to need to keep wearing masks, like buses or transit systems or hospitals or nursing homes or other congregate settings. So I think they're trying to emphasize that you should expect to see masks. I think we want to emphasize as well that if you're not vaccinated, you really ought to keep doing everything you were doing. The world hasn't changed for you. And just because if you see a bunch of vaccinated people removing their masks, you should really keep yours on to protect yourself and your family and those you interact with. But I think they were just trying to take a little time, since they had to kind of scuttle and hurry for the Friday statement, to put out a little more reminder of the context of all this for today.
The one thing that I'm lost in all of this, which, like you mentioned, like we've heard a lot of people talk about, is you can't really fight it because you can't tell who is or who isn't vaccinated. So the best case scenario is what? Our hospitals stay. We don't have hospitalizations. That's what we're hoping for, correct? We don't want the health workers, the same thing we did a year ago. We don't want the beds filled up and health workers stretched to their limits.
We certainly don't want to overwhelm the healthcare system, and I think a corollary to that is we want to let the healthcare system get back to normal to do all the other services that we need from the healthcare system, because even when they're not stretched, if they're reserving beds for COVID patients, that means they may be turning away or reducing elective surgeries or other things that should happen to keep us all healthy. We've seen fewer people going to their checkups and all that. So that's one thing. But, you know, also just very basically, we don't want to have people getting sick and going to the hospital for themselves and their families and workers or even passing away. We're still, you know, I used the stat last Friday that we lose about 2 people a day in Indiana to traffic fatalities on average, give or take. We're still losing 6 or 7 people a day to COVID right now. So two or three times as many as traffic deaths is happening every day. So it's a serious disease.
It is. There's no doubt about it. And getting your vaccination hopefully prevents you from getting the most serious part of it or any of it at all. And yeah, we'd love for you to wear a mask, but if you don't and you're vaccinated, we understand. We just don't know who is who and how is how. So we'll move on with it. And speaking of moving on, if you were out and about last weekend, gorgeous on Saturday and Sunday. Hopefully you had a chance to get out and enjoy it. All the great tables filled up on Kirkwood and parklets around the square and everything else. Now with 100% capacity, that seems like fun. We're not going to change that, are we?
Well, I did enjoy. I did eat out on Kirkwood, not over the weekend, but during the early part of the week. Well, maybe Sunday I did, actually, I guess it was. And Farmers Market was great, and Switchyard Park and all that. So I do encourage people getting out. So definitely there's a lot of interest in continuing that outdoor dining. It's good for safety. It's good for the merchants. It does have some costs. We lose parking revenue, but that's our job to try to deal with that, figure that out with city council. I think there's a lot of interest in continuing that. It'll be something that my administration and city council will work together on, along with the downtown merchants. And you know, vote with your feet. If you like what's happening there, go enjoy it and let people know.
And the other part is you got parking garages that are opening as well. So the quote-unquote spots that are lost Well, you can find some parking spots, and the students are gone as well. So help those local business owners shopping, eating, whatever it is downtown, and we'll help. We'll try to get them through the summer. This summer will be a little bit better than last summer. And then when everybody comes back in the fall, who knows where we'll be. Now, I wanted to ask you about the farmers market, because last Saturday we didn't have the same rules we're going to have this Saturday. So now it's just farmers markets a la 2018.
Well, I actually haven't seen the official word on that. And,
okay.
And I will tell you that we're still figuring out the swimming pools. You and I haven't talked about that, a little bit. what will those rules and summer camps and Twin Lakes Recreation Center and Farmers Market, we're still, feel an obligation to make sure we're keeping everybody safe. So I do think those rules will evolve. I can't announce for you today what they exactly will be, but they will continue to evolve, assuming we continue to see good progress in all this.
Now, does that go through the city council, or who comes together to decide on these rules?
That's basically the event coordinator. So if we're running the farmers market, first we have to make sure we're in compliance with Health County Health rules. That's a lot easier now than it was in state rules. Second, we need to make a judgment, just like any restaurant or anybody else does. How do I keep my staff safe, my patrons safe, and what protocols do I want to follow? Because as you said, we don't know who's vaccinated and who's not. We need to know how our employees are, how we keep them safe. So that's all, not something you can just turn a switch and over a weekend say we're changing completely back to where we were. So like Target or like Walmart or like a bowling alley, we have to figure out exactly how we want to approach things so that we keep safe and so that our customers feel safe.
We will keep our ears open for that, because I'm guessing you will have something later in the week before we get to the farmers market on Saturday. And if those pools, which are filled with water, open on Memorial Day weekend, we'll have to have a little bit of guidance. We went to Bryant Park on Saturday, do a little batting practice and take some grounders with the family. And my wife said, when we were here for practice last week, the little kiddie pool wasn't filled up. And I said, well, I think you get to connect the dots there, honey. We're getting closer. And
you got to hear pretty soon. You will hear pretty soon, on that.
Well,
but we're working out the details, and it won't be fun if we can get back to the pools for the 88-degree weather, for goodness sake. That would be, come on, let's go.
You turn the heater off for a day or two there and save a couple bucks. Mayor John Hamilton's our guest. He joins us every Tuesday after 4:05. We know you're not an epidemiologist, but you do have a legal background. How are you in real estate law and fencing? Because Don Griffin and I were talking about this on Thursday when the posts were going into the ground, but information was kind of scarce there. Tell me about what you know about the United States Post Office, fences, and Seminary Park.
Well, and you, Don Griffin knows more about real estate than I ever will, so you can talk to him about it too. But so basically, the United States Postal Service has a lot of power that most of us don't have in terms of what they do with their property. It's been a little frustrating. I haven't been able to get in touch with them, which I will express a little frustration. I guess I could wait in line to talk to a clerk, but I didn't think that was the way to do it. But we're trying to talk to them. The Postal Service, as I understand it, I have talked to one person in the affiliated there, but they've been concerned about some of the issues happening around their facility, particularly overnight. During the winter, you can probably imagine that a bureaucracy like the Postal Service takes a while to move, and this may have been in the works for months.
Well, that's a good point.
And so this is probably something that I'm speculating a little, but that kind of has been developing over quite some time. We're hoping to talk to them about it. We generally want to make sure our downtown looks good and welcoming. And this fence would not be in compliance with city ordinances. and requirements, but the Postal Service, we believe, we're still trying to get it all nailed down, has some authority to do things that, regardless of city ordinances. So these discussions are going to go on. You know, we want every downtown enterprise to thrive, including the Postal Service, just like the restaurants or any other retail or office buildings. And it life can be complicated downtown, so we're going to continue to work with them and hope that they can continue to be a good neighbor to all those around them.
And I would guess, without just from a driving by standpoint, they wouldn't be going to all this trouble if they were just hoping it was okay. But that's where federal property abuts city property, and then we leave it to the lawyers, correct?
I think discretion says let's leave that to the lawyers, yeah.
Gotcha. Now, in a perfect world, you would have wanted them to come to the zoning folks and say, hey, this is what we want to do, or this is our idea. Is there a perfect solution for this? Because it is their property in a sense, and I know the zoning would say, well, you can do this instead of that and that instead of that. How does this work in a perfect world?
Well, look, and I know institutions, we're subject to this. Sometimes we move without talking to people who want to be talked to, and I think it would have been preferable to have some conversations happen before this surprised some of us. But be that as it may, in a perfect world, we would be working with them, and they would be working with their neighbors and downtown folks to identify challenges and try to develop responses that seem to meet the challenges and diminish the cost to others. I think, property owners who don't have the power of the Postal Service may be looking at that and saying, well, how come they get to do that?
That's kind of where I was going with that, right?
Yeah, and that can be a little frustrating because we all need to be good neighbors and get along. We're all in this together, and we want to help those who are experiencing difficulty or causing problems to help get them to a better spot where they are too. So I look forward to conversations. They haven't happened yet, and so that I'm looking forward to that happening yesterday, I would say.
Right.
We'll hope that comes soon.
All right. One more, if you could stick around for one more minute, because the annexation, we know that's, again, front and center as well. The financial plan is now online. You can go on there and read it all you would like. Where do we go now that that's made available? What does that signify, and where do we go from here?
Yeah, the annexation process, which is, you know, how a city changes its boundaries to reflect development in its history, kind of through time, is a very defined state process. And one big part of the state process is you have to have a very detailed fiscal plan that looks at whatever you're considering annexing. You got to analyze what happens in the revenue side, how much more revenue comes, what do people pay in their increased, they pay city taxes in addition to their county taxes, which is what your situation is when you're a city resident. What happens with that? And then what is the cost of the services that you will provide to the newly annexed areas over a period of a few years as you build those up? And that includes sanitation trucks that you got to buy. It includes, we're actually planning a couple new parks that we would put in areas to, when you annex an area, your commitment is we're going to treat you as well as we treat anybody else. It's like if you, a new sibling joining a family, you know, you sit at the table and you get the same meal everybody else does. So we have to, in that plan, we outline what does that meal look like and how do we pay for it. So it's a projection. It goes out a number of years. It starts actually in 2025 and goes for 4 years. So it's a fair amount of projections, but it helps us look at what we can do and what people can expect to be if they're annexed.
Excellent. And that's all at the city's website and the annexation front page there. You can't miss it if you'd like more information. We're busy. The last Thursday, the is it PUD? Geez.
Those are the Unified Development Ordinance.
Oh,
the
UDO.
Zoning.
I'll get that right at some point. What did we learn last Thursday?
Yeah, after several weeks and many, many, many hours, the City Council finally did pass the new zoning statute, the regulation, the rules, and also the map. So that was a really big step. They passed the zoning rules 6-3, and they passed the map 8-1 after amendments to the rules. And I feel pretty good. It was a long and kind of stressful process. People got pretty... So there was some heat in the sessions, but I actually think it's how democracy works. It's fine if there are different views, and there were different views, but I think we landed in a pretty good spot to move the city forward with better zoning, plans for how development can happen and in ways that make us more inclusive, that make us more sustainable, that make it hopefully more affordable. And we carry on from there, ready to put it into effect.
Excellent job as always, Mr. Mayor. We appreciate your candor and all the information that goes along with it. Come back next Tuesday, we beg you. I figure we'll have another list of 200 things to get to.
Mike, I look forward to it. Have a good week.
Thanks, John. I appreciate the extra time as always. Mayor John Hamilton, the City of Bloomington, checking in with us every Tuesday after 4:05.